And welcome to your 2016 birthday reading. My name is Eric Francis, your kind of Aquarian cousin, here to tell you about the astrology of this time in your life. And there's plenty to tell. There's a lot going on surrounding your sign. There has been for a while. Aquarius remains a focal point on the largest level. Though there is a lot of discussion astronomically about whether we are in the age of Aquarius, I can pretty much assure you that from, let's say, other certain timekeeping and sociological factors, we are absolutely in an Aquarian age, a long one. And so you have all of society adapting to this, and it's not really that easy, and there are properties of the sign Aquarius that are not so obvious and not necessarily documented in astrology books that are, you know, different and worth contemplating. Perhaps that for a bit later on. But in any event, today is a big day in the life of Aquarius. There was a spectacular new moon a little bit earlier today, a few hours ago. At 20 degrees of Aquarius, and that new moon lines up with many other planetary factors in a lot of different signs of the zodiac. The way I'd like to organize this reading, first of all, I think I'm going to stick to my three-part format, that usually is two approximately half-hour discussions of astrology. Sometimes I run over if I get on a roll, and then in the third section, I like to do some astrology afterthoughts and then read your tarot cards. So let's keep that format. In the astrology aspect of things, I'm planning to first state the obvious, go over some of what I've said in the past, perhaps say it in slightly different ways, and then in the second segment go a little bit deeper and look at some of the, you know, off-menu type of things that that I see coming out of many of the same aspects I've already described. So the new moon today was conjunct and opposite a lot of different planets. Most of them were minor planets that are not going to show up typically on the astrology charts of most professional astrologers. There's just too many for most of them to keep track of, but this combination of factors is worth noting, and there is no definitive explanation, really. There are only themes that can be brought up, certain questions and ideas, and then you'll see where you relate to those things or not. Now, the most interesting thing I see in association with this new moon is that it is conjunct two asteroids that are associated with prophecy. That is the ability to commune with the broader sense of possibilities, and you might say to peer into the future. However, now that we know we live in a world where there are many possibilities simultaneously, and we know from fairly well established scientific research that time isn't linear, we have to consider the idea that prophecy is a form of creation. It's a form of intentional manifestation. And so the thing you want to do is be very cautious what you predict, because prediction in modern spiritual thinking, as far as I'm concerned, is a form of manifestation by agreement. And let's just take a look at what these two points are. So the new moon today was at 19 degrees and 16 minutes of Aquarius, and there is an asteroid called Cassandra which is exactly conjunct that. And there's another asteroid called Orpheus, which is exactly conjunct that. They're two very different stories. Cassandra was kind of someone who would speak truths that no one believed. And so there's a kind of issue there with that and the theme of what you say and how it's received. And then finally, with Orpheus, there's a much deeper story. Orpheus is a profound figure from Greek mythology who wasn't merely a predictor of things, wasn't merely a prophet, but rather he was someone who could commune with nature. His musical abilities were so profound that he could, you know, charm rocks with his compositions. And he is someone who is kind of a saint in Greek mythology, in that his relics of his temples are preserved, and some of the musical compositions, whoever may have made them, are also preserved. And so one way to think of communing with nature and with people and communicating on the level of ideas is, is what you're saying a warning, or is what you are saying some form of seeking unity, consolation, and soothing with music, ameliorating with music? And I would say that based on what I see in your chart, that it would be best to not count yourself as some form of a predictor or as a prophet. I consider this to be dangerous activity. Among the many reasons for that is that you can be wrong. And the other thing about predicting and prophesizing is that it tends to have very strong power of suggestion. And in our quantum universe, you want to really watch what you propose and what you suggest. And so I would strongly encourage you on this realm of prediction and prophecy to lean toward the musical amelioration, to communicate in feeling and in tone, and to be conscious of the tone that you take when you talk about what might be, particularly with yourself. Aquarius is known as a sign that is intellectual, that is a little bit like Mr. Spock, that is all about ideas and brainwaves and inventions and so forth. And there's plenty of other, you know, information just looking at the structure of the zodiac wheel that implies that you're actually much more emotionally motivated and subject to emotion and to passion and to all of the things that humans are normally subject to, right? So there is not, you are one with the human race on the level of feeling, and particularly now, it's vital that you keep a pulse on what you're feeling and how you are, you know, feeling and how you're conveying that back into your environment. One of the themes that arises over and over again in your charts is the dynamic of your relationship with groups. Aquarius is inherently the sign of groups. This is picked up by the 11th house, which is in some methods of doing astrology kind of a parallel to the sign Aquarius, and it talks about your relationship to the collective. Now, by the collective, I don't mean the entire human race or the entire population of New York City. Rather, I mean the population of the people that you interact with directly, and then let's just extend that out to one level of separation to the people who they interact with directly. So I know someone who knew President Obama at Columbia University. President Obama does not count as being in my immediate sphere of influence. Ah, but I know a lot of other people this person knows and talks to. So they would count as being in the one step removed. So a couple of things here. One is to remember that your presence in any cultural or social environment has an influence, and that it has that influence going out one step of removal. So you're influencing, you know, when you say something to a friend, you influence your friend's family as well. And so it's good to know that, good to remember that. The second thing is that you are in a phase of what I would call establishing purpose. There's something, though this happens many times, and I recognize that many of my listeners are advanced in their careers, there's something new in your life on the level of purpose, something that you are ready for and that it is time for, very much time for. However, it's a different thing, perhaps, than in the past, and it may be something that you have worked with for a while, but now you know that it's time to establish yourself in a solid way, to make something tangible. And so this is setting up a dynamic between you and any group that you're in terms of establishing what for you is true and, you know, experiencing whether other people relate to that as true. And so here we can look at the Cassandra factor of, you know, on one level warning people, or the Orpheus factor, which you might think of as seducing people musically with feelings and with tone and with relating not just to people, but you might say to the entire natural environment. So the more of a broad view of your role that you can take, the better off you will be. And the more you see yourself as someone basically in the role of either establishing yourself regardless of what people might feel or might think about your idea, versus caring a lot and attempting to proselytize or prove or to kind of root yourself in, I would suggest erring toward a little bit of the not quite being so concerned what others think on whatever topic it might be, and keep your focus on establishing your role and your purpose and your personal truth, and then gradually seeing who responds to that and bringing others in. And depending on, you know, the way in which you've kind of changed your game, particularly during 2015, what direction changes your life took in terms of, especially in terms of your definition of your purpose and what you are committed to on some very deep and intimate levels, you may have any number of reactions from people. You may find that people are just, that you knew previously are not even vaguely interested in what you're saying and what you're now doing, or you may find there are some that are quite interested in what you're saying and what you're doing. But I think that more significantly, who you want to think about relating to are the people you're not aware of yet, the people who are encountering you by kind of energetic extension. You might think also of potential clients if you are establishing some new phase of your business, and you would always want to think in terms of group dynamics. And the group dynamics will partially be established based on the kind of the concept of what value you think your truth is supposed to have. Now, the main planetary placement that is describing this relationship to your community and one step removed from your community is Saturn in Sagittarius. Sagittarius is the 11th sign from Aquarius, so it is therefore what you would call the 11th solar house. If you're Aquarius rising, it would be the 11th house. By whole sign houses, for our purposes, they're the same thing. It is the 11th place in your chart, and the 11th place in your chart is kind of like Aquarius for you, because it's the 11th. It's this house and sign that relate to other people and in group format. And what's interesting about having Sag on the 11th is that it is capable of embracing huge diversity. It's not merely enough to say, oh, Aquarians like having all manner of diverse, weird people and a love of ideas, it helps a lot to say, well, in the place in your chart where we see some direction about how you reach people and what they experience when you contact them, is that there is this broadly embracing quality of the 11th house in Sagittarius, and you are broadcasting on a very wide spectrum. That is true of Sagittarius. There is probably more spectral activity astronomically in the direction of Sagittarius than any other sign, owing to the presence of the Great Attractor and the galactic center. And so you have the ability to, let's say, transmit a message far and wide and to receive messages from far and wide. And whatever that means personally, I would just add to that, that it's helpful if you remember this broad spectrum transmitting and broad spectrum receiving. It puts you in contact with realms beyond what people think is normal, and what seems obvious to you may be completely off the wavelength of other people and not seem so obvious to them. So remember that. Now, when we add Saturn into the mix, we're adding a kind of a property that makes things very tangible. And so this whole thing about what seems obvious to you is not obvious to other people is exponentially magnified by the presence of Saturn, because you can be very convinced that what you are thinking and feeling and saying, experiencing and witnessing is absolutely true and real, and yet to others it may just seem like dogma or an idea. And so this is where it's necessary to go very gently in group environments and spend a lot of energy figuring out where other people are coming from and figuring out what other people know, and cultivating as your most important communication skill, a skill for listening to ideas and for actually understanding the viewpoint of others as best you can, to the degree where you can speak directly to that viewpoint in a way that other people can relate to. Now, this will go against what you might call the natural tendency of Saturn in Sagittarius. The natural tendency of Saturn in Sagittarius would simply to be right and to not want to learn and speak the language of all these kind of alien beings around you, but to, you know, in the words of Cartman, respect my authority. That's not going to work. You have to be a translator. You need to be kind of anthropologist, let's say, and figure out where these people are coming from. And one thing to know is that in your solar return chart, the chart I'm using for this reading and pretty much every other actual exactly cast solar return chart, Saturn is conjunct this thing called the Great Attractor. And what the Great Attractor has, excuse me, is a polarizing effect. So not only are you in kind of a place where you can seem like your ideas are tangible to the point of inflexible, but that then has a polarizing effect where you might find that people are kind of pushed far in one direction and in the other direction. And one direction might be to bear absolutely no credibility to what you're saying, to like give you any credibility at all, and other people might really, really, really believe you. And neither of those are going to serve you very well, which is why you need to be the one aware of this factor, aware of the fact that you can have this polarizing effect on people, and to be able to rein that in, to reel that in, and to instead basically learn the rudiments of communication with the people in your environment. And this includes all people. That might be relatives, it might be colleagues, other coworkers, friends, and I keep getting, especially again and again, this kind of clientele of people that you are needing and wanting to be receptive to some social or business or spiritual teaching idea that you have. One of the places I'm getting that from is that Saturn transiting the 11th has that feeling of establishing oneself, of finding one's niche. And this is true for people who are not even Aquarius, whose sign is not ruled by Saturn. But when your sign is ruled by Saturn, Saturn really becomes the direct extension of who you are. And that is something that now you've reached this point where you want your ideas to be known, whatever they are. And to do that, it is necessary to relate to the dynamics of the environment as you know it to exist and not be too interested in trying to change the environment, but rather to work within the environment, to interrelate to the environment that you're in a kind of a peaceful way. And the way to do that, I'll say it again and not say it a third time, is just to keep your ears open. Keep your ears on, as they say in Australia, and listen to what people are saying, and then take it a step deeper and try to understand what is motivating them in a non-judgmental way, just so you can be more effective at working with them. Speaking of authority, one of the most interesting things about this chart that apparently some of my astrological colleagues have found a bit ominous is the square of the new moon to Mars. And Mars is in your 10th house. And your 10th house is Scorpio, first of all. And that tells us something about the nature of your idea of power and of accountability. So first, let's consider the 10th house and what that's about, and also review a little bit, because you had Saturn in the 10th house for all of 2013 and 2014, and a little bit of 2015, so that's pretty important. 10th house is about accountability. It is something of the nature of Saturn, owing to Capricorn's kind of morphing relationship to that. The 10th is also about relationships to your parents, particularly your dominant parent. And it is about the way in which you establish your reputation. In mundane, practical, rather than psychological astrology, the 10th is about laying the foundation for your reputation. So there's another indicator that you're doing that. The presence of Saturn in Sag in the 11th talks about laying a reputation down. It has this feeling of like paving a road and kind of carving into whatever kind of spot you can find to establish yourself. The 10th, with Mars there, is very similar. It too is about doing the work of being known and the work of being respected. The main thing to know about the 10th is that it really is about accountability. It's about you being responsible for what you do and the actions of what you do. Little accountability goes a long way. One of the issues we have on the planet right now is an accountability issue, where various structures have been set up such that no one's really responsible for what they do, and people can get away with all kinds of problematic things that they don't actually ever have to, you know, be called to task for. And with an important planet like Mars in your 10th, the message is to be responsible for what you say and for what you do, and to also take control of the whole process of what you're known for and how you're known. The challenge of both Scorpio and of Mars on the 10th is that neither are particularly given to transparency, particularly Mars in Scorpio. The presence of Scorpio is suggesting a kind of playing your cards close to your vest on the leadership thing and not being especially open with others, but they still feel where you're coming from. It's very intense to have Scorpio on the 10th house, and Scorpio has a tendency to want to concentrate power. Scorpio in any form wants to concentrate its power and influence. And the way it or you might tend to do that is through some form of emotions. And not only is Mars in Scorpio in the 10th, but Juno is in Scorpio in the 10th. And this can create a something worth guarding against. It can be overly controlling. It can be a bit nitpicky. And it's your concept of justice described by Mars conjunct Juno in the 10th can be something other than magnanimous. So we want to be careful about picking on small things and using your influence to really be mindful of the larger things, the wider subjects, the more important sweeping things, rather than kind of micromanagement. If you're going to micromanage anyone, it's important to micromanage yourself and recognize you can't really actually micromanage other people, that they will either be cooperative or not be cooperative. And also, it's necessary to be mindful of your idea of justice, to know for yourself what is right or wrong. And you have a strong leaning toward justice. I mean, with Libra on the 9th house, right, one house back, that is suggesting that justice is very important to you. And that is one way to describe the social justice leanings, well-documented social justice leanings of the sign Aquarius. The important thing to do is to make sure that you keep the pressure on the bigger issues and leave the pressure off the smaller issues and the people with smaller roles, and that you, more than anything, understanding what is motivating your impulse to leadership. So Scorpio 10th, very strong leadership inclination. Mars in the 10th, focusing that with kind of a drive, and Juno in the 10th, focusing that with either attention to many small details and some scorekeeping possibilities, and then also an inclination to want justice and want the right thing to happen. And so while this is all going on, it becomes profoundly important for you to keep your motivations transparent to yourself and to make sure that your priorities are in order. When you need something done, when you need someone to do things, something for you, understand why it is you need them to do that, and make sure that you maintain your point of accountability in that relationship so that there's no mystery. When you set things in motion, you have to take responsibility for what you've set in motion. It's really quite simple. And that includes the responses. Now, I could hardly think of a better situation calling for emotional containment and emotional restraint than Mars in the 10th in Scorpio being squared by a powerful new moon event. Now, in terms of recent history with Scorpio, one of the things that has been a factor the past 2 years is that Saturn has moved through your 10th house, Scorpio. And this has been, well, it's been a lot of different things, but one thing it may have been is frustrating in that you have needed authority or wanted authority that's been a bit hard to come by. Saturn has pretty much demanded that your main authority be either over yourself or be based on what you are consciously fabricating and making and contributing to the world around you, rather than the respect that you get, right? So you may not quite feel like you've had the respect that you deserve. And I think that now what is clear is that it's necessary to take a much subtler approach to this whole equation, to not be so overt about things, and to really invest your energy on understanding why people want what they want, and to work within their reality framework. This carries over into the next house, into the themes of Sagittarius, which you might think of as the framework of other people's ideas, their religious inclinations, their idea of justice, their idea of what is right and wrong, and to spend a lot of time noticing what people are perceiving about their world at the same time you are staying in an intimate relationship with your own motives and your own inner process. The odd thing about having Scorpio on the 10th is, on one level, the 10th house is so public. It's so out there where everyone can see it. On the other hand, Scorpio is so contained. It is so private. Its inclination is to not reveal, and yet what the 10th house demands is revelation, is transparency. I've quoted this a few times, but Debbie Kempton Smith, one of the truly gifted astrology writers of our lifetimes, said about people with the sun in the 10th, which you may or may not have, but in this case I'm talking about Mars, that having, you know, Mars in the 10th house is fine as long as you don't mind being followed around by a TV crew all the time. So that sensation of being constantly held to account for everything is something you have to get used to as an extension of having power, of having authority, of having independence, right? So that's the karmic exchange, is you get the authority, the power, the independence, the influence, to the extent that you are willing to be transparent and make sure that you hold yourself to a high standard of truth and that you are intimately connected to your own motives. You need to know what's driving you. Know when it's personal. Know when it's about your past history. Know when you're angry or frustrated and that's driving you. Know when you are set on the right thing happening and that's motivating you. You need to understand all those things, which requires tremendous personal insight and keeping as much of your energy directed inwardly as you can, particularly given how much energy is being projected out into the environment in your world right now. So I have other thoughts on these things, and let's take a short break and come back and look at what's going on in the signs that are immediately surrounding your signs. You are flanked on one side by Capricorn. That is your 12th house, flanked on the other side by Pisces. That is your second house. And it's really the constellation of houses 12, 1, and 2 that make up most of the matrix of what we think of as a person, as an identity. Just to preview that a little bit, the 12th takes us deep inside a person's unconscious, quote-unquote, unconscious mind. The first house is how you name yourself, how you express yourself, what you consciously choose to project into the world, and it represents a level of ordinary waking consciousness. And then Pisces, your second house, is your value system. And so between houses 12, 1, and 2, we get a pretty complete picture, something deeply internal, something that one is consciously wishing to express and become in the world, and then finally, the values that you use to make your exchanges with the world. Okay, that's a little preview, and we'll come back to those three houses in the next section. Thanks for listening.